licenses, it looks very narrowly at only suspensions that were suspended by a court, probably with a long record, in my assumption, and a court finally said, that's it, Jack, I'm taking your license, and only because of DUI, only reason that that's the case is because of the fact that that keeps the numbers down. We're talking about 4,000 cases a year rather than 20,000 cases a year. I've had any number of people in this building come to me and say, why don't you also add in insurance? Why don't you also add in any number of things that other people feel they should? We've got to start somewhere, and we need to start right now. So that's why it is what it is. The Zebra program, we've had this discussion extensively. I have some feelings about the Zebra program too, but I will only defend it to say it is more comprehensive. It is a program that has to do with suspended licenses of all the various categories. And so if we were to trash it now to fund this, we would not have that program for all those other offenses. I'm in a difficult position because I've made some commitments on this regarding that program. It does not seem to be in the offing to be able to fund it, but as Senator Hill said, it can be certainly reviewed next time. So it is not, they are not conflicting programs. It is not a direct replacement. There are some dollars there, but it is happens that it has been chosen not to do it in this way. When you look at the Zebra program, let me just tell you, for those of you who have not participated, that program is, as Senator Hill described, it's a matter of putting the sticker on the car. I will tell you that that program involves 19 people in the Department of Motor Vehicles and $1.5 million by DMV. This program, I would submit, is at least as effective, costs less than that, and there are people who believe in it enough to help to pay for it up to the extent of just being short $100,000. So I think we need to get it going. I think that there are some matters relating to this bill that some people may want to look at substantively, and I have made my commitment to everybody that if we can get it through this committee, get it on the House floor, get it over to the Senate, that Senator Cohen is very interested in this bill, and I have pledged to her that I will come over, and I have sent her a letter identifying three or four issues that friends and committee members on this committee have said they would like to have another look at, and they will still do that before it comes to the Senate floor. But if we don't move this forward, we're going to lose 2 years, and we're going to have people out being killed. And I would certainly ask for your vote, even though you may have to hold your nose, to get it on one step further. This has been, for me, the most difficult bill I've ever had anything to do with, but it's also the one that will change the state of Oregon as much as any that we'll vote on. So please vote yes.
Sue, I wonder, since you arrived, if you there were questions that were asked about the funding on this as whether those estimates were as they should be and as reflected by agreement with the agencies. Could you shed some light?
What you're seeing is currently a rejection in the charges. It's no longer a crime, or at least not a felony, and the folks will not be entering the institution. Bill Lennon came in and indicated that counsel would not be appointed. It's not going through the court system, at least in the initial stages, and that's where your savings are coming from. Yes, both agencies did agree to the numbers.
Mr. Chair, a question to staff, if I may. Sue, on both the indigent defense and the corrections item, that's predicated on a same level of service, or what's the level of service that those two budgets will be providing compared to 81, one, and two, isn't meeting the need that's out there? I mean, I understand the figure on reduction, but reduction from what? In relation to what?
Senator Clavish, members, at current service level. Both of those budgets are at current service level.
At current service level, on indigent defense and on the corrections and parole, was there identified any need that's being unmet with either of those budgets?
On the indigent defense side, no. I believe that's only plan is because we can anticipate right now, not knowing for sure what's going through the system, so three times and whatever. On the parole and probation side, no, it is not fully financed. You'll be reaching probably medium-level parolees for supervision. On the probation side, there will be a very significant reduction. On that side, you'll have person-to-person crimes and sex offenders.
John, want to call the roll, please?
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Trill?
No.
Yee?
No.
Kearns?
No.
Hill?
No.
Fobish?
No.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Representatives Gilmore?
Aye.
Jones?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Calori?
Aye.
Shipwreck?
No.
Minnis?
Aye.
Co-Chair Van Lee?
Aye.
Eight
votes. It does not pass.
I'll change my vote, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have just enough. House Bill 3304 will go to the House floor with a new pass.
All right. Senate Bill 1208 relating to telecommunications.
Mr. Chair, 1208 was the bill that we had before us on Saturday, and there was question in the full committee about whether or not it conflicted with Senate Bill 1210. Both of them relate to telecommunications. And so we decided, because of the question and the fact that we didn't know enough about 1210, that we should take the bill back to committee. And we did that. And at the moment we took the bill back to committee, I instructed staff to put the two bills together and go to legislative council and to work on those bills section by section to see whether or not there was indeed conflict. And what staff found was that there was no conflict. These bills are complementary. They are not conflicting. And when we had the bill back in committee, we had a hearing on it this morning. Everybody there was in favor of the bill. In fact, they were very enthusiastic about the bill, Senate Bill 1208. And none of the testimony indicated any opposition, nor did any of the testimony indicate any conflict between 1210. So we voted unanimously in the subcommittee to send the bill back to you with our full support, recommending it do pass. And I recommend we do that now.
Thank you, Senator Trill.
Which one is this?
1208. Any question on 1208?
I'd like to spread on the record that we ensure that the exec coordinates the activities of 1208 and 1210 so that they don't lose each other.
I think the intent was that in the last paragraph or section of the bill that does it. Isn't that right, Senator Trill?
Well, we want to make sure now that what we have is the Economic Development Department is going to basically be involved in this and helping to develop the plan. Certainly the executive department's involved as well, but the bills don't make set forward any conflict. The two agencies can work well together.
Yes, Representative Coy.
Thank you. I guess it wouldn't make any difference if I voted against it anyway.
You want to be very careful.
Well, I know. I think that the wording does have a little bit of conflict to it. If there was an opportunity to reword statements.
Mr. Chairman,
they had a chance to come this morning to the committee. They did not come. They did not tell us any way that there was a problem.
There was
and
an ample opportunity.
Had no problem developed. And we had legislative counsel go through it.
Senator Trill, I think the intent was the question previously was working with the data processing.
Sure.
My understanding of the things that you dealt with this morning and put on the record was that there would be coordination
yes,
with the data
absolutely.
Processing
and the executive department, which links the two.
You don't have a problem with
it. Yeah, then it links the two, even though it goes through this convoluted...
They're complementary, they don't conflict, and they'll work together.
All right. Any further discussion? Any objections to Senate Bill 1208? Okay, it will move to the House floor with a due pass. House Bill 2295, Senator Hill.
That's Senator Hill, 2295.
Senator Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 2295 is a bill relating to the Public Utility Commission. This is one we reflected upon yesterday and decided to correct. As amended by the House Bill 2295 would clarify PUC's existing authority to stop vehicles at designated temporary checkpoints that have signs posted. The PUC seeks increased enforcement of motor carrier safety and registration laws to improve public safety. The committee amended the bill to include an expenditure limitation for Department of Justice staff costs to process complaints and for costs to install radios in PUC vehicles. The cost will be funded from the increased penalty revenues resulting from increased numbers of monetary complaints issued by PUC for mechanical and driver violations. But I have a note here that says that PUC does not regulate farm trucks. So this has no effect upon farm trucks.
Great. You're a great American.
All right. Further discussion.
Stripped it down, Mr. Chairman. Bare bones. Took all
bare bones.
That controversial stuff out.
Okay, I think we've got some negative votes. Can we go ahead and have a roll call, John?
Senators Robert.
Aye.
Hannon.
No.
Trow.
Aye.
E.
Aye.
Kearns.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Frobisch.
Senator Aye. Aye.
Co-Chair Bradbury.
Aye.
Representatives Gilmore.
No.
Jones.
No.
Bunn. Johnson?
No.
Calori?
Aye.
Shipwreck?
Aye.
Minnis?
Aye.
Co-Chair Van Lee?
No. House Bill 2295 will move to the House with a due pass. Bills previously reported out of full committee making their swing around. House Bill 2252, Representative Johnson.
Co-chair of members, on Saturday, an item, a little item called $3 million was left out of this bill, and needed to just insert it in page 13 and move the bill. That's all.
Any objections to that? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2252 back to the House with a due pass? Okay.
No problem, though, small amount.
House Bill 2501 relating to the Tillamook State Forest, Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2501 requires the State Parks and Recreation Department and the Forestry Department to develop a comprehensive recreation plan for the Tillamook State Forest. The recreation plan will identify recreational and historic uses and conservative facilities. While still maintaining a productive state forest, the Forestry Department will provide funding for the bill, and the State's Park Department will provide the staff work. The bill was previously passed by the Ways and Means Committee. It was amended in the Senate Subcommittee and returned to Ways and Means. The subcommittee reviewed the amendments and revised the membership on the advisory committee by adding two additional members so that all three counties in the Tillamook Forest area would have representation on the committee. The addition does not change the fiscal impact of the bill. I recommend approval.
Any discussion?
Just
any
comment, Mr. Chairman?
Very yes, Representative Shipwright.
The record did make sure that the is delineated in line 27 of page 2 that the primary purposes would be timber production.
Thank you very much. I think we tried to make that clear this morning.
Just on the state of the
yes,
record.
Good. I'm glad you did that. Any objection to moving House Bill 2501 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'd like to give notice that I may vote against 3304 on the House floor. And we will be meeting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, John. Full committee at 8 o'clock.
Mr. Chairman, thanks a lot.
Good morning, Joint Ways and Means Committee will come to order.
Got a full agenda to start our morning with. We start with House Bill 5002, Economic Development. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Economic Development Department operates a range of programs designed to improve the economic well-being of the state. These include services to small businesses and industry, community development assistance, and workforce development. Exclusive of $56.3 million of lottery funds, which are allocated in Senate Bill 562, the operating budget for the department totals $150.6 million. Another $53.7 million shown on the budget report is for non-limited expenses of the department's loan program. The general fund portion of the operating budget, $16.2 million, is 6.5% less than the $89.91 estimated expenditure. The decline is due to some program reductions, primarily to a shift of general fund-supported programs to lottery funding. The subcommittee restored $1 million of proposed $2.5 million tourism budget shift. The subcommittee also restored $150,000 for the Coastal Zone Management Association. The governor's budget proposed transferring the Family Support Act Jobs Program and the Jobs Training Partnership Act Program to the Department of Human Resources. The legislature rejected the JTPA transfer funding and position authority. $66.9 million and 15 FTE are restored in the subcommittee recommended budget. Other fund expenditure limitations were increased by $6.5 million for 89-91 revenues that will be expended in 91-93. And in accordance with advice from the Department of Justice, six positions were added for the overseas office staff currently employed as contractors. In addition to technical adjustments made in all budgets, the subcommittee reduced amounts based on updated expenditure projections, deleted funding for one of three deputy positions, and reduced the amount provided for merit increases. These adjustments are detailed in the budget report. No.
I'd recommend approval.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion on House Bill 5002? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 5002 to the floor of the House with due pass recommendation? One, Representative Calori, objection. Any others? So ordered. Senate Bill 179, Senator Trow.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 179 would authorize the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board to impose civil penalties of up to $1,000 for violations of statutes relating to occupational therapy practice. The committee amended the bill to provide that the board would issue a warning on first violation, be able to assess a fine of up to $200 on a second violation, and $1,000 upon a third and subsequent violations. Mr. Chair, for those of you who have some unease about civil penalties, I want you to know the committee went after this bill and reduced the civil penalties and established the schedule for assessing the civil penalties to be far more lenient than the bill had been in the first place. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 179? Is there any objection to...
I'd like the recording, but no.
Is there any objection in addition to Senator Hannon to sending Senate Bill 179 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 503, Senator Trow.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is one of a number of PERS bills we're going to have today. Senate Bill 503, as amended, allows certain PERS employees and retirees to purchase credit for prior service. Eligible employees include employees who had been members of the Teachers Retirement Fund Association and employees
who had worked in seasonal positions for PERS employers for increments of less than 6 months. Employees who had been members of TRFA, which is a Portland area, in the Portland area schools, are eligible if they, one, separated from TRFA and withdrew their TRFA account before July 2, 1984, subsequently served in education with a PERS employer for 10 years, and third, pay in a lump sum the amount withdrawn from their TRFA account, plus interest. Another group of employees who had worked in seasonal positions for PERS employers for increments of less than 6 months may purchase credit for those periods of service if they have, one, worked for PERS employer for at least 10 years, and two, pay in a lump sum the total amount of the employee-employer contributions that would have been made had the employee been a PERS member, plus interest. The bill also increases the number of hours certain retired persons may work for public employers from 600 hours to 1,040 hours per year. The increase applies only to management service, unclassified service, and to school superintendents. This is one of the things that the education lobby, especially COSA, wanted, was to make it possible for school superintendents to come back and serve in school districts where there's a sudden vacancy, those who've retired. And so this bill accommodates that. Current law, which will be repealed June 30th, 1991, allows 1,040 hours for management service and unclassified service. Senate Bill 503 makes this provision permanent and adds school superintendents. There is no fiscal impact to PERS employer contributions. There is a one-time administrative cost to PERS of about $5,000. Recommend approval.
Thank you, Senator Trow. Any discussion? Representative Calori.
Senator Trow, I'm guessing that July 2nd, 84 is some important historical date there. Can you explain that?
Yeah, and I think it is, and I just ask Roz if she'd help us with the reason why that the Portland area schools are eligible if they separated and withdrew before July 2nd, 1984. Can you help us with that, please?
The Teachers Retirement Fund Association was actually merged into PERS in
15. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to sending Senate Bill 503 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so skip 562. Senate Bill 660, Senator Trow.
Another PERS bill. This provides PERS credit for temporary total disability. A. Engrossed, Senate Bill 660, provides a PERS employee who is receiving temporary total disability with credit for the time and salary that would have been paid if the employee had not been injured. The lost time and salary is included when computing creditable years of service and final average salary to determine the PERS retirement benefit. The bill benefits workers who are injured in the last 3 years before retirement. The bill prevents salary lost before retirement from reducing the computed final average salary and consequently the lifelong retirement benefit of an injured employee. The fiscal impact to all PERS employers is $700,000 per biennium. The cost to state agencies is $300,000 per biennium. The administrative cost to PERS is $90,512 in 1991-93, most of which is for one-time costs. This, I think, is a valuable thing to do that helps the injured worker who's temporarily injured and can't, with previous law, earn credit toward his retirement salary. And this makes it possible for that to happen. It means that employees who come back to work may then be able to retire on schedule rather than having to work extra years. And so I think it's a good policy.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 660 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 676, Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, 676 sets forth the state's policy on the development of a comprehensive approach to the problems of adolescent sexual activity, pregnancy, and child rearing by providing appropriate leadership at the policy, program, and service levels. The measure establishes a 13-member Oregon Council on Adolescent Childbearing to advise the Health Division in developing a long-term adolescent prevention strategy. The Council's activities will be limited to funds which may become available from gifts and grants from public and private agencies during the 91-93 session. I would urge the adoption of 676.
Any discussion on Senate Bill 676? Any objection to sending Senate Bill 676 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Go back to Senate Bill 562, Lottery Fund, Senator Faubush.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This has got a little bit of everything for just about everybody. This is the main lottery allocation bill, about $111 million. It allocates 110 of that amount, with a million allocated to House Bill 3343, which is fuel-burning alternatives, or the fuel-burning bill. This goes to the Department of Agriculture to find for research for fuel-burning alternatives. The total funds allocated, $103 million, is projected from the existing lottery program. 1.64 is transferred from the 89-91 ending balances, and 6.57 million is from anticipated video lottery receipts. The way that's structured is that if the video poker bill passes, it will the funds from that in this coming biennium will be used to buy down the COP cost for prison construction, about close to $7 million, somewhere near. The video poker will not be used to buy down the light rail this biennium. The light rail will come from the regular lottery. It was established so that there is an absolute break. If video poker passes, the only impact you will see on this budget will be the buying out of the next biennium's cost for prisons. If video poker doesn't pass, there is an allocation. There is an allocation formula set up to where $6.7 million will automatically be taken off of the total for the lottery package. Let's see. There is $106 million in expenditure limitation. Additional amounts are included in other budgets or to be provided by the emergency board. Expenditure limits are set for the 14 agencies listed in 7 through 10 of the budget report. The largest allocation of $64 million is to the Economic Development Department. Included is $4.4 million and 25 FTE positions for administration. $111 million allocation is reduced by, I already said that. Let's see, what else? The light rail project and repayment of the prison construction debt are off the top, so they are guaranteed to be repaid. This, the way this is structured, will be an absolute guarantee for light rail funding and should satisfy the Fed's requirement for that type of ironclad guarantee. The uniform funding reduction mechanism, if there's a lottery shortfall, if without video poker, if there's a lottery shortfall, there will be an across-the-board reduction on all of the programs except light rail and the prison construction. If there is a shortfall and video poker is in place, video poker will backfill up to the $6 million allocation. What else? That's the main overlook. If anybody has any questions about any of the items in there, I'd be more than happy to try to talk about them. But basically what you've got is a continuation of a number of the programs, but with a clear distinction between the potential of video poker and the regular lottery.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions? Representative Gilmore.
Needs. What line would I find the concern that I discussed with you and the Economic Department?
Let's see, I think that would be the...
Would that be in a regional...
That's Special Public Works Fund, Representative Gilmore. And you'll find that in two areas. If you look on the page two of the sheet under regions and communities, there's a $9 million item there.
Okay.
And then if you go down to the timber response, there's a $4 million item there for a targeted Special Public Works Fund.
That's the area.
Okay.
Thank you.
We split those to be sure that a portion of that would go into the communities that are most affected, small communities that are heavily affected by mill closures.
It's my understanding, follow-up, that if there is no community development in that specific small town, timber town, and need to be expressed a short distance away where
I think we're
something could be done, it could be moved
that,
a little bit.
That depends on the level of cooperation between the two entities, and I think you're involved in an excellent example of that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions, comments on Senate Bill 562?
Too much space.
Any objection to sending Senate Bill 562 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered.
Ray.
Senate Bill 701, Senator Tro.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Fairly substantial. However, the committee did take into consideration the fact that the Transportation Subcommittee beat the living tar out of DMV in their base budget. And there's some disagreement with respect to that. But it is an act that is necessary to bring our state statutes in compliance with federal law. And
thank you, Representative.
Recommend and I vote.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 2072? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2072 to the floor of the House? Representative Calori and Representative Gilmore object. Any other objections? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2240. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2248 engrossed allows PERS to contract for medical benefits for surviving spouse or dependent if the retired member was receiving benefits at the time of death and the survivor was covered by member's health insurance contracted to the ERS. The bill continues current PERS practice to provide medical coverage for the surviving spouse or dependent and pay the $60 premium subsidy, even though the member did not elect to continue coverage for the spouse or dependent after the death of the member. The continued coverage applies only to the surviving spouse or dependent of members who had retired prior to May 1, 1991. There's 131 individuals involved. Members retiring after May 1, 91 will be counseled that medical coverage will be continued for the spouse or dependent only if elected. The fiscal impact to all PERS employers to fund the current practice is $700,000 per biennium. The cost to state agencies, employers, is $250,000 per biennium. I recommend approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Any objection to sending House Bill 2240 to the floor of the House to do pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2257, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2257 establishes a uniform procedure for the disposition of surplus state-owned real property with a goal of retaining state ownership only to the extent that is necessary to conduct state business and provide for needs of the foreseeable future. The bill stipulates that the acquisition, exchange, lease, retention, and management of state-owned real property be subject to a statewide plan that will encourage the use of property already owned by the state. Among other provisions, the bill requires that agencies, unless specifically exempted, notify the Department of General Services of their intent to dispose of or acquire real property. Stipulates that General Services must approve leases of state property exceeding 5 years duration. Specifies that after state agencies, political subdivisions will have the first option to acquire or lease state-owned property. requires General Services approval for terminal disposition of land for less than its fair market value, and that General Services obtain advice from its advisory committee on transactions involving property value at $100,000 or more, replaces the requirement that General Services submit an inventory of all public lands to the Legislative Assembly each session, with a requirement that they maintain a current, up-to-date inventory of state-owned real property, and authorizes General Services to apportion the cost of maintaining the inventory and administering the state lands management program to each state agency owning real property. Urge your approval.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion on House Bill 2257? Any objection to sending House Bill 2257 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2299, Senator Trow.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2299 deals with fees that are charged by the Health Division to cover the administrative costs for licensing and inspecting food service facilities in the 12 counties where the Health Division directly administers those services. And so these fee increases include one applicant for a restaurant or a renewal from $100 to $195, application for a limited service restaurant from $25 to $50, application or renewal for a bed and breakfast facility from $50 to $95, temporary restaurant license or renewal from $30 to $75. Incidentally, this new fee level doesn't really pay for the entire cost of the regulation by any stretch, so there's a subsidy here of the state to these 12 counties. The other 24 counties where the county takes over the process will charge more to do the regulation, and the fees will be higher there than in these 12 counties. The committee increased the other funds expenditure limitation for the Health Division by $314,542 and authorized the establishment of three new positions to provide for additional inspections in the 12 counties that the division operates the program enforcement activities, and allows more staff time to assist the remaining 24 counties who have opted to assume the statutory responsibility for the program. Mr. Co-Chair, there was in the committee an attempt to amend the bill by the ORA, basically to apply the state fee levels statewide in the other 24 counties. We did not go along with that suggestion that we amend the bill to do that. We did, though, put a budget note in the budget report suggesting that the division develop a report of the full cost of providing a food service inspection and enforcement program as called for by statute in the direct service counties. In other words, we wanted to look at these 12 counties where the state division, health division, is doing this and find out what it really does cost and what the fees really should be if we weren't subsidizing them in that. The report should include relevant data, if available, regarding foodborne disease outbreaks and their relationship to the level of the inspection program being provided. The division is directed to submit the report to the appropriate subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means Committee during the 67th Legislative Assembly. Ms. Co-Chair, there's always controversy over this activity. These fees don't pay for the entire cost. They are being raised because the Health Division needs some help in doing this, but there still is a state subsidy to these 12 counties. We recommend approval, and with the idea we're going to look at this and find out what the full cost will be for next biennium.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator.
Questions?
Representative Minnis.
Just because I don't understand how this works, the bill talks about 12, not the bill, but your narrative talks about 12 counties where the state does this mm-hmm. licensure, but the bill doesn't seem to restrict the fee to those 12 counties. Is there some other mechanism that does it, or are these fees charged statewide currently?
Well, I think the bill relates only to the 12 counties and sets the fees in those 12 counties.
Where does it say that? I can't find it in the bill. It says it's only in those 12 counties that the fees are charged.
Senator Roberts.
The fees in the counties in which the counties maintain the program set their own fees.
Well, I know that, except that what I'm reading in a bill says no person shall operate a restaurant, bed or breakfast without a license to do so from the health division. I don't see anything that constrains it to just the 12.
Right. Well, everybody gets a license from the health division, but the regulation is done partly by the state in 12 counties where they choose not to do it themselves. And therefore, there's no regulation unless the state does it. And then the other 12 counties do the regulatory activity, but the health division gives the license. That's the way I understand it. That's right, Art, right?
That's correct. The licensing comes from the state health division, and the way they get that fee is there's a charge of 15% of the other 24 counties comes into the health division, and they use that to actually issue the license. And to directly answer your question, there is another section of law that talks about how the counties, the other counties that want to administer the program and levies their fees.
Okay, so if one of the 12 counties who's currently not doing this regulation opted to do their own, they could and...
They could opt in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It is a battle that's gone on for 16 years.
Yes.
But we're giving counties, obviously, the option of either enforcing or not enforcing.
Right.
We got rid of the ABC greasy spoon designation, and that's the most we've been able to do.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on 2299? Is there any objection besides Representative Jones's objection to House Bill 2299? Send it to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. House Bill 2543, Representative Pelori.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is has to do with post-prison supervision for sex offenders. The theory here is that sex offenders can very infrequently be actually treated and to a conclusion, but rather need continuous treatment. So what this bill does is extend the post-prison supervision out to the term of the maximum sentence, so that any time that they serve in prison, then post-prison supervision will take over from there and take out to the end of the sentence. Seems to be a real sound policy, and the only question that our subcommittee came up with had to do with the costs. The costs are covered at least largely by post-prison supervision fees. However, there was some testimony on the part of corrections that said that they didn't feel that the full costs were always covered. The impact comes in later after this biennium, so we encourage them to come back and make some suggestions about how we could give some more guidance to the courts to perhaps have the fee be a more full funding fee, and they agreed to do that. Urges passage.
Thank you, Representative Pelori. Is there any further discussion on House Bill 2543? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2543 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 3338, Representative Pelori.
Thank you again, Mr. Co-Chair. This nominally has to do with funding of a study of the Tualatin River. However, I would point out that the committee felt very satisfied that the work being done with this particular study would be one that would could be useful in our further study of other rivers, including the Columbia River, which there's a study, and the Willamette River, for which there's a study. Information was provided concerning costs and benefits of remedial action, determination of natural level pollutants, and a model that they're going to do of the entire river that could be used and transferred to cleanups of other rivers. This is important in addressing the, unfortunately, the most polluted river that we have, but also can be applied to others. Both Senator Hill and Senator Cairns were helpful in this in helping us to get this through and to realize that this work is transferable, and I urge this passage.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman,
thank you, Representative Senator Hill.
I support the bill. I think we did some good work on it, and it can be useful. After we passed the bill out, something came to my attention that in contracting with the Graduate Center, for this, we should try to obtain ownership of the model so we can apply it, so we don't have to pay royalties on the model in the future. So in designing the contract, I asked DEQ if they would design that contract and enter that contract in a way that, that allows us to buy that model, to obtain ownership of that model so we can use it without paying royalties in the future. And they said that they would try to do that. So that's an intent.
Mr. Chair. It
goes along with the bill.
Representative Van Vliet. My understanding was that the cooperative grant was to be open for a competitive bid from the educational institutions themselves, with the state institutions themselves involved, and not to go directly to Oregon Graduate Center. Why was that language changed?
I think a couple things. First of all, there's already a relationship with the Oregon Graduate Center.
There's also a study, Willamette River study, being done by some of the state institutions. What made Oregon Graduate Center such a big deal right now?
Well, they received $75,000 during the interim from the emergency board to begin the study. So the Oregon Graduate Center has already begun modeling the Tualatin River. OSU has begun modeling the Willamette River,
It's not the question of which one's doing which river. The question is, when you have state institutions that are involved in that kind of thing, why are we going to the private sector in that when we have institutions that we're losing people at that could have used the study money? You've got professors leaving the university system because there isn't enough funds to support them, and we're throwing money over to the Oregon Graduate Center, which is a private institution.
Well, I guess I defer to Representative Gloria on that.
Well, I think it was... I think you reflected correctly. It was the committee's judgment, and that the DEQ people said that they felt that they could handle the thing more efficiently. I'm not sure I got in on all that discussion, but I think that they felt that it was pretty clear that that's where it would be going because of the monies that were already coming to it, and that it was really in fact a continuation of work already started. And convinced the committee that this was a more effective way of handling it, and that they could get on with the work. And there's a lot of work to be done. That's the best I can tell you.
Senator Cairns.
Well, I specifically recall Representative Clory saying they had better people at the Graduate Center than
he did.
Not surprised.
He didn't care what the co-chair said. Chairman,
I sort of believe you, sir.
No, I think it was strictly a straightforward matter of them already having a relationship which has already been very fruitful, and commitment made beyond the funds already allocated as a result of that continued relationship, and the ability to meet a March 1993 deadline, which is 21 months away, in order to provide their study for the next legislature to act on. So it's a matter of go down one road and stop and back up and go over and start another road and not meet the deadline and not have a work product by the next session. The subcommittee simply said, we need the work product. Both DEQ believed that the relationship was productive, and it was sole-sourced. There's no getting around that fact.
Mr. Chairman, when you have engineers and people at Portland State, University of Oregon, and Oregon State, you have professors that are being let go from the system because of the lack of funds, it seems strange to pour this kind of money into a private sector that has got their own source of funding.
Well, maybe there'll be openings at Graduate Research Center.
Well, I think that may have been the intent, Senator Cairns.
No, I don't think it was the intent, Mr. Chair. Senator Bradford, were you chairing? Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Chairman. There are other studies which are included in the DEQ budget, which I understand will be up this afternoon, and those are going. I understand are going to be public. School research products, so that the committee was not at all unmindful of that, but we were pretty straightforward about recognizing on this one we wanted a work product, and the best way to get it was to keep going down the road we were on.
Okay. Further discussion? Is there objection, Senator, or Representative? Okay, roll call on 3338.
Representatives Gilmore?
No.
Jones?
No.
Bunn? Johnson?
Come back to me.
Johnson?
Yes.
Kalori?
Aye.
Shipwreck?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Co-Chair Van Lee?
No.
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Crow?
No.
Yee?
Aye.
Kearns?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Bobush?
Aye.
Co-Chair Bradbury?
Aye.
Bunn votes aye.
House Bill 3338 is sent to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation.
I will be speaking against it, Mr. Chair.
Go for it.
House Bill 3405, Representative Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill creates an industrialized housing development program to be administered in conjunction with the Center for Housing Innovation at the University of Oregon. The purpose of the program is to assist housing manufacturers by researching improvements in related technology and productivity, with the goal of making housing more affordable, making better use of wood products, and improving energy efficiency. Any research, development, or evaluation of wood products by the program would be coordinated with the Forest Research Laboratory and Forest Products Extension Service at Oregon State University.
Oh, wait a minute.
Bill originally started out with a $400,000 appropriation. We had no money, so we put a $1 general fund appropriation and gave them a limitation of $400,000 so they could go out and look for private money. I would urge your adoption of the bill.
Probably should have put the $375 there rather than $1. Any comment, discussion?
Where's the dollars? Is the industrialized housing project.
Industrialized housing at University of Oregon for $1.
It's $1. It's simply a
go search, find
fine.
Money.
Oh, okay, fine.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, it's too bad that they didn't they didn't get this into the process earlier, because this would have been a prime candidate for looking at that whole timber response package. I would recommend when they put this together that they go talk to that Forest Competitiveness Corporation immediately to see how they could develop a relationship with that $2.2 million.
Good suggestion. Any objections of sending House Bill 3405 to the House floor with a due pass?
Is this long for a question?
Yes.
Is there any possibility of finding a private provider rather than a public school? Just about kidding.
What?
Yes.
No objection.
We're going to hire private state police, too.
I like that idea.
Good one.
3567, Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chair, most faculty members in the Department of Higher Education work under contracts that require a one-year notice prior to termination. The State Board of Higher Education is concerned that if replacement revenue for ballot measure 5 is not identified by the spring of 1992, they may be expected to give notice to faculty members that would have to be terminated earlier than would be necessary. The bill is to signal the board as well as faculty members that higher education budget request for 93-95 may recommend that the faculty salary expenditure for the first year of 93-95 may be the same as for the second year of 91-93, thus preventing this kind of unfortunate situation. I want to make it clear that while it recommends and allows the board to move that way, the board probably had the power in any event, but it makes clear the legislature's intent, and the bill does not bind the 1993 legislative session.
Thank you, Representative. Any comments, questions? Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, I voted no in committee because I feel this limits the board and the legislature's option in recommending for the 1993 year. We have a lot of task forces going on recommending improvement and changes, and I think this is premature to allow them to recommend for the 93 year. without considering all those recommendations that would be forthcoming.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments? Is there any objection beyond Senator Yee? Do you object to this bill? Would you be a no vote on this bill? Yes. Are there any other no votes on this bill to send it to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? And so, now, under other business, we have four federal grant applications related to the Department of Human Resources Children's Services. Senator Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, the Human Resources Subcommittee recommends that the Ways and Means Committee approve the submission of four federal grant applications by Children's Services Division. The grants, if funded, will enhance the division's ability to assist children and families through the following approaches. One grant to increase adoption coordination and training. $100,000 per year will be requested in the grant. Second, to provide residential treatment for young sex offenders. This is a grant that's going to be applied for $200,000 per year. Three, to establish a new crisis nursery in Portland. Crisis nursery is a nursery that takes children who need to be taken in because of child abuse, $200,000 per year. And four, increased family participation in child protection planning, a grant for $99,354 per year. The subcommittee also recommends approval of a federal grant application by the Community Children and Youth Services Commission. This grant will provide $100,000 for the Commission's efforts to reduce the number of ethnic minority youth who are involved in the juvenile justice system. This is consistent with federal policy. If the grant applications are successful, the agencies will return to the emergency board to request expenditure limitations, which time, of course, details would be reviewed by the emergency board. Urge the approval of those four grant applications.
Is there any objection to the grant applications that Senator Roberts just detailed? Seeing none, so ordered. We will be in recess until 3 p.m. today. We come back for full again at 3. And which subcommittees are meeting right now? I know transportation is meeting.
The Human Resources Subcommittee will be meeting briefly immediately.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Okay. And transportation is meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Is education meeting?
Dan, is education meeting? No, it's not meeting. Okay, we have a bill. Yeah.